You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
And find your way to Daniel chapter 7. You also want to find your way, if you will, to Psalm 72. It's not on your screens, but Psalm 72. Put a bookmark in Psalm 72, and we're going to start in Daniel chapter 7. 2 weeks ago, we were in Daniel chapter 7, and we looked at these beastly kingdoms on the earth, these world empires that would rise up and devour one another. Daniel 7 is an incredible prophecy in Scripture. It is simply remarkable. It is so remarkable that the critics have said there's no way this was written at the time of Daniel. It had to come centuries later because it so specifically lays out the panorama of human history, these world empires. It foretells events from 60 BC all the way to the return of Jesus Christ. And prophetically revealing the rise and fall of these beastly kingdoms of the world. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at these beastly kingdoms. It was the Babylonian kingdom. And it was the Medo-Persian kingdom that was going to follow the Babylonian kingdom. And Daniel prophesied after the Medo-Persian empire, it'll be a Grecian empire that comes. And he prophesied after the Grecian Empire, it'll be a Roman Empire that comes. And each of these beasts devouring each other. Brutal. And we looked at this, and ultimately these kingdoms of the world, these world empires, there's going to be one final world empire before Jesus comes back. And that will be the Antichrist. And the world is ripe for him. We are looking for a leader who will unite everything and bring order out of this chaos, and this Antichrist will come onto the scene. We looked at last 2 weeks ago and saw in detail what he is going to do. This prophetic vision that Daniel has here of these beastly kingdoms came to Daniel at 553 BC during the time of the Babylonian captivity. The Jews had been in captivity for 52 years. Jerusalem was demolished by Babylon, by King Nebuchadnezzar. And the Jews were taken into captivity into a foreign land. Imagine how difficult that would be to be taken captive. You've built a house. You've saved your whole life. You've got your kids in school. And now you're taken captive into another land. That's what happened for all the Jews as we are in Daniel 7 here. And they had been in captivity at this time for 52 years. And now Nebuchadnezzar, the king who brought them into captivity, he burned Jerusalem to the ground. And now he has died. And his great-great-grandson, Belshazzar, is now reigning. And no doubt, Daniel and all the Jews are wondering, what will happen? What is going to happen to us? And God answers their questions in this prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. He tells them these other kingdoms are going to rise and fall. They're going to devour one another. The Medo-Persians, the Grecians, the Romans, then the Antichrist. But ultimately, there is a Messiah who is going to come. And the title of the message this morning is The Return of Jesus and His Glorious Kingdom. And we are going to see just some incredible things. The main point, the theme, the thesis of Daniel chapter 7 is Daniel sees this Ancient of Days, God Almighty, enthroned in majesty and splendor, sovereignly presiding over a scene of judgment of all the kings and kingdoms on the earth, and their rulers, and all those who follow them. And the Son of Man, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is seen coming in great glory in the clouds of heaven. And he has given power and glory and dominion and the kingdom. And his kingdom will be established over all the earth. It is a kingdom of justice and righteousness and eternal rule. And it is coming. Jesus will rule bodily and physically from Jerusalem over all the nations of the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. Do you not long for the day? Oh, I long for the day. To just see righteousness reigning on the earth. And this magnificent event will be the climax of human history. Right now, the climax of human history is Jesus' first coming. All of human history points either before Christ or after Christ. But the return of Christ will even eclipse the first coming of Christ as the greatest event in human history. And here God shows these things to Daniel in this vision in chapter 7 that is just phenomenal. 9 times Daniel will say that he saw or that he beheld or that he looked or that he watched these things happen. And Christian, I just want you to be encouraged this morning. The message that we're going to jump into shows us that God is sovereign. I know it looks like the world is crazy, but God is sovereign. He is in control. Jesus is coming, and his glorious kingdom will be established on the earth. But Daniel shows us that before this glorious kingdom of Jesus can come, these beastly governments of men have to be gone through, and they will be destroyed, and then the Lord will come. And those were the beastly kingdoms that we looked at 2 weeks ago of the world kingdoms of the earth. And Daniel is now 67 years old. Think of this. He was about 15 when he was taken captive from Jerusalem into Babylon. And now he's about 67 years old. And for his entire life, he has seen how corrupt the human governments of the earth are. No doubt Daniel, being well-educated, incredibly intelligent, he had studied all the history of Israel. He had seen the 19 kings of Israel's history. And of those 19 kings, guess how many were righteous? 0. All 19 kings were wicked and corrupt and led Israel into idolatry and into wickedness and into deplorable sins. Israel was the northern kingdom. Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel had 19 kings. Judah had 14 kings. Guess how many of those kings in Judah were good? Only 6 of the kings. That means out of 39 kings between Israel and Judah, only 6 followed the Lord. The rest were corrupt and wicked. And Daniel had lived during the time of King Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, when he was taken captive into Babylon. And Daniel had seen how wicked King Jehoiakim was. King Jehoiakim was just self-seeking. He would serve himself, and he did horrible things, led Jerusalem into wickedness. One time, the prophet Jeremiah, sent a scribe with a scroll, the word of God, to King Jehoiakim. And the scribe starts reading Jeremiah's word from God to the king. And guess what King Jehoiakim does? He says, "Give me that scroll. I don't like that part." And he'd rip that part off the scroll and throw it in the fire. And the scribe would keep reading. He goes, "Give me that scroll. I don't like that part either." And he'd rip that part off and throw it in the fire. Until he had read the whole scroll, and the whole scroll was ripped and thrown in the fire. This was the leader of Jerusalem. And I find it interesting, isn't it amazing that today we try to remove God's word from society? We try to remove God from society in a false misnomer of separation of church and state that was never intended to take God out of government, but to take government out of God. So that government couldn't rule the churches like had been done in horrible experience in England, and the churches became corrupt as a result. Separation of church and state was to keep government out of the church, but not the church out of government. Go to Washington, D.C. What will you see? Scripture engraved all over the place. Was never intended to keep God out of government. But the beastly governments of man are always removing and trying to destroy the Word of God and get it out of us because we don't want to follow King Jesus. And Daniel had seen all of this. He had seen the evil Babylonian Empire raised up by Nebuchadnezzar, God raising him up to bring judgment on Jerusalem for the wickedness of their kingdoms. And now in captivity for 52 years so far, he is seeing all of this happen. Nebuchadnezzar burning Jerusalem to the ground. And now his great-grandson, King Belshazzar, is the king of Babylon. And he's ruling in debauchery and in hedonism. And he is totally incompetent to be king. I know you can't even imagine such a thing. The wicked, vile leaders of the world's kingdoms. Like Daniel, I think we have all had a bellyful of corruption in government, have we not? Of the vile, unrighteous leaders of the world kingdoms and the nations. I think of Xi Jinping and how wicked his rule is. Or Kim Jong-un. And how wicked his rule is as he lives in luxury and has prisoners in prison camps. Or Vladimir Putin. Or the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, who just wants to annihilate Israel off the face of the earth and is funding all these proxy wars through Hamas and everything else to try to destroy Israel. And the point is the world has been plagued by vile, beastly kingdoms from the beginning of man's fall, and the endless wars that they have caused by their beastly governments and their autocrats. I was thinking about our recent history, just recent history, like in our generation. Do you realize this happened? Mao Zedong, the chair of the communist rule in China until 1976. That wasn't that long ago. His totalitarian policies, his communism, were responsible for how many deaths, do you know? 80 million deaths. 80 million deaths. People dying of starvation and persecution and prison labor and the mass executions that he ordered. This was our generation. This isn't ancient history. This was 1976. And then in 1976, he's taken off the scene. And another beast comes onto the scene, Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge, in the killing fields of Cambodia, and 2 to 3 million died in Cambodia. Their horridly cruel Marxist government exterminated masses, many of them just because of their religious beliefs, killed. And I find it so strange that we have someone in government who was raised with a radical Marxist father, and we are entertaining crazy ideas. What is wrong with us? That was just a few short years ago. 1976 to 1979, 3 million killed by these ideologies. And it was only a few years before that, 1940s. What happened in 1940s? Hitler. Crazy. And here we see these beastly kingdoms of the world still alive today. In recent months, we've seen United States and Israel. 40,000 truckloads of humanitarian aid to Gaza. Food and aid and over 500,000 tons of food. More than enough food to feed every man and woman and child in Gaza to the full. And yet many of those Palestinians did not receive any of it. Do you know why? Because Hamas stole it. And do you know why Hamas stole it? Because they wanted their people to die. And do you know why they wanted their people to die? To make Israel look bad so the world would hate Israel. Their hatred for Israel was so severe that they would rather kill their own people so that Israel would be disliked. And can I tell you something? To the crazy insanity of it all, it's working. If you are here today and you think, oh, Israel is a warmonger, can I tell you something? You're a fool. You have been deceived. Israel is the only democracy in that entire region of a bunch of insane, beastly leaders who want to bring war and death and genocide to Israel. And why Israel? Because its capital is Jerusalem. And you say, so what? That capital, Jerusalem, is where Jesus Christ will come back and rule and reign physically, bodily, literally over all the earth from Jerusalem in the glorious and great reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And if you wonder why this little tiny land that's the size of a postage stamp is causing all the turmoil in the earth, it is because God's kingdom is at hand. Zechariah would say, in the last days, God will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the nations because they don't want God's plan to come into fruition. Jesus is coming, and he is coming in glory. He is coming in great glory to reign on all the earth. And here in Daniel 7, we see Daniel's description of this Ancient of Days coming onto the scene. Let's read. Let's jump in. It is phenomenal. Daniel chapter 7, are you there? I gave you all that to skip the first six verses that we covered, seven, eight verses that we covered in detail last 2 weeks ago. These are these beastly kingdoms that rise up and devour each other and then rise up and another kingdom comes in and devours it. And it's all that we've been talking about. And now we'll see verse 9. We'll jump in to this coming of Jesus. It's going to be glorious. Daniel 7, verse 9. Let's pray as we read God's word. Lord, we're thankful for your word. How you have foretold history before it happens. It reveals your sovereignty. It reveals that you are in control of all things. It reveals that you are outside of time. It reveals that you are the creator. Lord, as we open your word, please speak to our hearts. Reveal your truth to us, Lord, that we might know you. Lord, I ask a rich blessing on each one here. Life is hard. The beastly kingdoms of the world, they grind on us and it's hard. Lord, we need your strength. We need your grace. We need your wisdom. So, Lord, open our eyes that we might see the wondrous things written in your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. After these beastly kingdoms that we've been talking about, Daniel sees, take a look at this. It says, I watched. He sees it. I watched till thrones were put in place, until thrones were established, in other words. And the Ancient of Days was seated. Do you know who the Ancient of Days is? It is the eternal triune God. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I watched until the Ancient of Days was seated on this throne. His garment was white like snow. What is that a picture of? His perfect righteousness, his holiness, his purity. His garment was white as snow, and his hair, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, speaking of him as a judge in wisdom. Very interesting, by the way. Our nation's history, all the Supreme Court justices, what did they wear? White wigs. Where did they get that from? From here. Speaking of his wisdom and judgment, his throne was a fiery flame and its wheels a burning fire. When you see this, I don't want you to see four wheels on it. I want you to see, it's not that. These are different. This is a wheel within a wheel, a burning wheel. We get a vision of this from Ezekiel. I don't have time to go. I want to so bad. I did last service and I can't do it again. But know this is a throne, a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire. This is a heavenly courtroom and a heavenly throne, and it is a throne of judgment of the Ancient of Days on all the kingly beasts, governments of the world that have rejected God and done atrocities. This is a heavenly courtroom where judgment is going to come on all the governments and those who follow them. And a fiery stream, verse 10, issues from them and came forth from before him. That's the Ancient of Days. And look at this. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. That's millions and millions. It just means an untold neighbor, untold number. I tell you what, I want to be one of those. Thousands of thousands ministered to him, thousands. 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him in judgment. And the court was seated and the books were opened. Verse 11 and 12, we taught in detail last week. Jump down to verse 13. I watched in the night visions and behold, read these words with me. Behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Who's the Son of Man? That's Jesus. This is the glorious return of Jesus Christ, the reign of Jesus, his eternal kingdom on the earth. He comes to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him, that's to the Son of Man, to Jesus, was given, circle these three words, dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Dominion, glory, and a kingdom. That all peoples, all nations, all languages, all tribes of the earth shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is the one which will never be destroyed. Wow. These beastly kingdoms, they come and they go. One kingdom rises up, Babylon, and another beast, the Medo-Persians, come in and they devour the Babylonians. And nations devouring each other. But there is one kingdom that is coming that will never end. It is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is a righteous kingdom that will never end. Daniel's description, interestingly enough, of this Ancient of Days, his hair like wool, this description of the Ancient of Days matches incredibly to the description of Jesus in his glorified body in Revelation chapter 1. And I wish we had time to study both right now, but we don't. But you would be wise to go study that, Revelation chapter 1. And I would ask you, how can that be? How can the description of the glorified Jesus and his resurrected glory be the same description as the Ancient of Days? And the answer is, the Ancient of Days and Jesus are one and the same. The Ancient of Days is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here we see the Son of Man coming from the throne of the Ancient of Days, and dominion and glory and a kingdom are given to him. And the Son of Man, of course, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is coming in great glory to reign on the earth in a literal, physical, bodily reign on the earth. It's interesting, by the way, the Son of Man here in Daniel chapter 7. Do you realize that the Son of Man was Jesus's favorite title for himself? 83 times in the Gospels, Jesus uses that title for himself, the Son of Man. And I would ask you, why? That's a strange title. I mean, if you were the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, if you were Yahweh, if you were the mighty God, if you were the eternal glory of God, would you use the phrase, the title, Son of Man? Jesus did. Why was that Jesus' favorite title for himself? Again, 83 times in the Gospels, he uses it for himself. I have given much thought to this over my lifetime as a believer. And I believe there are two reasons Jesus loved the title Son of Man. Number one, I believe he loved that title because it communicates very clearly his great love for us. You see, the Ancient of Days, the Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he emptied himself of all of his glory and he became a human. It would be astonishing if he just took on human form. He did not take on human form. He became a human, and that is entirely different. He became a human, and I want you to know something about you as a human. You will live how long? Forever. You have a soul, and you will live forever. Jesus didn't take on a body. He became a human. Big difference. And communicating himself as the Son of Man clearly reveals how far God stooped in his love for us to redeem us and to bring us to himself. How far he condescended, emptying himself of his radiant glory and becoming a poor man on the earth, even though he was the creator of it all. The creation, the creator became creation. And so he loved that title because it communicated his love for us. But the second reason I believe that he loved that title, the Son of Man, is because it points us back to who he is. It points us back to Daniel chapter 7, that the Son of Man is actually the Ancient of Days, who is going to be the ruler of the earth, who is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it reveals that he is going to reign over all the nations, the title Son of Man. And Jesus would use that title at very specific appointed times to reveal this truth. One of those times was when he was at his crucifixion. And it was the trial on the day before his crucifixion. And he is standing before Caiaphas, the high priest. And Caiaphas is sinful. He has no interest in knowing the truth. He is only trying to protect his position as a high priest. You see, it is possible even for pastors and for priests to become beastly kingdoms because they're caring about their own throne, not the throne of the king. And Caiaphas was that man. And so Jesus is not speaking a word to him in this trial. Imagine being on trial and not defending yourself. And yet that was prophesied about him. And here's a picture for you in Matthew 26 of this trial. We're coming right in on it. Caiaphas is drilling him with questions. And Jesus, what does it say? First three words. Jesus kept silent. We're going to read a lot of verses today on your screens. I want you to be tracking with me. Have a pen ready. Jot these down for future study. We're going to cover a lot of verses. And when we read, I want to hear you read the Word of God with reverence in a loud, unified voice. So read with me. Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Let's stop there. Jesus was silent to him, wouldn't speak to him, because he knew he was a wicked high priest who had no interest in truth. Jesus spoke nothing either to Herod, spoke nothing to him, not a word, because he knew he was a wicked ruler who had no interest in truth. But to Pilate, Jesus spoke, because Jesus was trying to save Pilate. And here, Jesus would not speak, but Caiaphas was the high priest. And here he puts this person on trial, Jesus, under the oath of the living God, which the high priest had the right to do as the high priest. Now it would be sin for Jesus not to answer. So here Jesus answers, because he's under oath of the high priest. And look what Jesus says. It is as you said. And I imagine he paused. It's as you said. Yes, I am the Christ, the Son of God. And then he follows up with this. Read with me. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Do you realize what Jesus just did right there? What did he do? He quoted Daniel 7 verbatim. This is Daniel 7. This is where the title Son of Man comes from. And he says, listen, you're going to see me sitting at the right hand of power of God and coming on the clouds of heaven. Rest of the verse. And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, you have heard his blasphemy. And they shouted out, crucify him, crucify him. Wow, how amazing. At Jesus' trial and crucifixion, Jesus was telling Caiaphas the high priest and all the religious leaders standing there with them, are you sure you want to do this to me? Because I am the Son of Man that Daniel 7 talked about. And I will be the one who rules the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you sure you want to do this? Wow. How would you like to be Caiaphas, the high priest, on Judgment Day? Or any of those religious leaders standing by when Jesus plays back the reel and said, I told you who I was. You ask, I told you. How would you like to be them on Judgment Day? And it begs the question, does it not? What are we doing with the knowledge of Jesus that he has given to us? Are we worshiping him as Lord? Or are we building our own little empires, our own little kingdoms? Are we exalting him as head over all? Is he the Lord, the authority of our life? Or are we on the throne? What are we doing with all that Jesus has revealed to us about himself? Oh, I pray that we are worshiping him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. For he is worthy of all worship. And when we submit our lives to his lordship, he gives us life and life abundant. He gives us wisdom and direction and guidance to see through all the shallow ideologies of these beastly kingdoms and to walk on a foundation of truth that leads to righteousness and to everlasting life. Daniel 7 makes it perfectly clear that the glorious kingdom of God will be given to the Son of Man. And this is what Christians for 2 millennia have been praying every time we pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, this is the day that it will finally come. Here it is. This is it. And Daniel sees it prophetically with his own eyes. Jesus is coming in great glory to reign on the earth. And Daniel witnesses it with his own eyes in this vision. The divine decree going out from the throne of God in heaven. The earth belongs to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. The judgment belongs to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. The throne belongs to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And the kingdom belongs to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And his time has come to rule over the kingdoms of the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. This is the messianic kingdom that has been prophesied and promised from the beginning of time. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, the kingdom was first given to Adam. And Adam lost the kingdom to Satan in his deception. And it's been a beastly kingdom ever since. And you remember at that time, God foretold his plan of salvation, that the great king will come. Do you remember what he said? Eve, I know the world is full of sin and sorrow now, but the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Speaking of this day that we're reading about in Daniel 7. It wasn't just Adam and Eve that God told that to. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was preaching the same thing. Look at Enoch 1:14 on your screens. Let me hear you read this. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, let's pause there. Seventh from Adam, that means seventh descendant, seventh child from Adam, right? Read with me. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saint to execute judgment on all and to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly, beastly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against the Son of Man. Here, amazingly, in the seventh generation from Adam in the Garden of Eden, Enoch is a prophet, and the message God gives him is not of the first coming of Jesus, but the glorious return of Jesus when he comes in judgment to judge all the beastly kingdoms of the world. Amazing prophecies. On top of all this, God gave a Davidic covenant to King David, and David would write about this. This covenant was that, David, I know you're the king of Israel. You're the king of Israel, and Israel is the strongest nation on the earth at this time. But there's a greater David coming. Your seed, your lineage, you are just a foreshadow of the real thing. There is a Messiah coming. He will rule over all the earth on this very throne in Jerusalem. Look at Psalm 110 on your screens. This is Psalm 110, verse 1. This is this Davidic covenant that God made with David. Read with me. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let's pause there a second. This brings us right back to Daniel chapter 7. As the Ancient of Days is sitting there until the Messiah, the Son of Man, is given dominion. And notice this. The first Lord is all capitals, which in Hebrew means what? Yahweh. Yahweh said to Adonai. The Ancient of Days said to the Son of Man. Do you understand? Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Where is Jesus sitting today? At the right hand. We are waiting for this day when his enemies will be made his footstool. Has not happened yet. Look what the rest of the verse says. Jesus quoted this, by the way, to show his lordship when the religious leaders were questioning him about who he was because they didn't believe he was the Messiah. He quoted this very verse. Verse 2, read with me. The Lord, Yahweh, sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Here it is, verse 2. Yahweh sends forth from Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. And what's going to happen in Jerusalem? The mighty scepter. What is a scepter? The scepter is a king's staff when the king is ruling in authority over everything. There's going to be a scepter, a ruler from Jerusalem, and he's going to rule in the midst of all the enemies that are going against him and against his kingdom, against Jerusalem. Rest of the verse. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. This is so powerful. I love this. Your people, the Messiah's people, they will worship you what? Freely. Out of free will. From their heart. They will worship. They will know your great love for them, and they will worship you. And then they'll be in what? Holy garments. What are those? That is the righteousness of Jesus Christ imparted to us. Revelation shows the same picture. Where all of our filthy, stained actions, our filthy, stained life is completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are given his righteousness as a free gift. And we will stand him before him, offering ourselves in worship freely to his power. And we will be there in holy garments, righteousness. And then look at this next part. From the womb of the morning and the dew of your youth will be yours. What is the womb of the morning? Well, the morning is a brand new day. And this is the womb of a brand new day, and you're going to be in the dew of your youth, or in other words, good news, church, You're going to have a glorified body that has no gray hair, no wrinkles, no blemishes, no creaky knees, no... You're going to get a glorified body that is apart from the sin nature. And forget the physical appearance. This corruption, Paul would say in Romans, must put on incorruption. And then will be brought to pass the saying, O sin, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And then death will be swallowed up in life. And what Paul is saying is, no longer will I be plagued with this body that wants to, my mind, my heart wants to do the will of God, but my flesh doesn't do the will of God. Romans 7. That what I want to do? I want to be a good, nice, selfless, others-focused individual. I don't do. I'm selfish. I'm greedy. I'm a pig. That what I want to do? That's not what I do. That what I don't want to do? That's what I do. Oh, wretch, I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be lustful. I don't want to be angry. That what I don't want to do, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver me from this body of death. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from this law of sin and death. And this body is going to get a new body, glorified and resurrected. That's Romans 7 and 8. And we are going to be this, right? The dew of the morning of a brand new glorified body. Amazing. Rest of the verse. The Lord has sworn, Yahweh has sworn, and he will not change his mind. You, son of man, are a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, bringing us back to Abraham and Melchizedek. Melchizedek was outside of the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is outside of the Levitical priesthood, coming from the tribe of Judah. Melchizedek had no beginning, had no end, had no father, no mother. He was a foreshadow. He was a foreshadow of Jesus, right? You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And look what he says. The Lord is at your right hand, and he will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, and he will fill them with corpses, the nations, filling the nations with corpses, and he will shatter the chiefs, the rulers, over the wide earth. Wow. Jesus is coming in great glory on the earth, but before Jesus' righteous kingdom can be established on the earth, all sinful kingdoms must be abolished. And Jesus will do this. Jesus came the first time in total humility, emptying himself of all of his glory on a mission not to be king, but on a mission to save you and I. He is coming the second time in radiant glory, not to bring salvation, but to bring judgment of all the unrighteousness of the beastly kingdoms of the earth, so that his righteous throne can be established forever. This is God's plan of salvation, and it was planned out before the earth was ever created. I was blown away this week. I was reading through the book of Revelation, and when I got to chapter 20 and 21, I see this at the end of the messianic period, the end of the millennial kingdom, the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus' reign on the earth, Jesus will set up a brand new universe. This universe will be destroyed. The earth will melt with a fervent heat. He'll roll up the heavens like a scroll, and he creates a new heaven and a new earth. And John, the Apostle John, sees it all in Revelation 20 and 21, which blew my mind because I thought, Lord, it's already finished. You've already created it. And the new heaven and the new earth is glorious. I can't wait to study it with you. We need to do that. Maybe stick around after church. We'll do another service. But before Jesus's righteous kingdom can be established on the earth, all the sinful kingdoms of the earth must be judged. And Jesus will do that. The Ancient of Days, look at verse 9. This Ancient of Days, he sits on a fiery flamed throne to bring judgment. And this is the divine courtroom of judgment on a Christ-rejecting world. Why? Because before there can be a righteous king ruling the earth, the ungodly, corrupt, vile kings and all who follow them and support them and their kingdoms must be abolished. Take a look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, a thousand thousands ministered to him. That is countless millions. And I tell you what, I want to be one of them. And then 10,000s times 10,000 stood before them in judgment. Billions of people representing not one nation, but all the nations of the earth. And the books were opened, it says. The books were opened. What are the books? Do you know God has a lot of books? And I don't think they are literal books, although they might be. But he has knowledge of every action of every individual. And those books will be opened, and everyone will be judged according to their deeds. This is the great white throne judgment, and not one person makes it through the great white throne judgment, which tells us that none of us are righteous. No, not one. Which is what Paul told us in Romans 3. All of us are filthy sinners. And we don't look so bad as we mingle among other filthy sinners who lie, cheat, and steal, just like we lie, cheat, and steal. But when you stand before a holy God and the books are opened and all your unrighteous deeds are recorded, that sexual immorality, that drunkenness, those thieveries, oh, but that was a long time ago. They don't go away. That swindling, that cheating, that lying, that time you hurt your friend, your person really close to you just to elevate yourself, that deceit, that abortion, that drug deal, that stealing, that drunkenness, that adultery. I mean, I could go on forever. The Bible says if he would number our transgressions, none would be able to stand. And here the books were open in this day of judgment, and the righteous, holy judge judges, and every man falls. God has many books. One of the books God has is the Lamb's Book of Life that was slain from the foundation of the world. If your name is in this book, perfect righteousness is given to you as a free gift, and all your sins are washed away, and you are clothed in righteousness. This is the most important book in all of the universe. Make sure your name is written in it. How do I get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the earth? It is very simple. You realize how much God loves you, that he created you on purpose because he wants to have a relationship with you. And even though you have sinned and rebelled against him, he became a man and went to a cross to pay for all of your sin, that whosoever would believe that he loved you that much to pay for your sin would have life and life eternal. And if you are here today and you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, take to heart all these words, for they will be played back when you stand before him. And make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Simply say, Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. I want to know you if you love me that way. Lord, save me. Cleanse me of my sin. I believe you resurrected from the dead. And call me now, Lord. By faith, I give my life to you as my Lord and my Savior, and all your sins washed away. That is a loving God. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast out of the kingdom. for eternity. Choose wisely. So let's look at this kingdom. What kind of kingdom will it be? What kind of kingdom are we talking about? Well, I want you to know Jesus's reign will be a literal, physical, worldwide kingdom of righteousness on the earth. Look what he says here in verse 14. This is a literal, physical kingdom. Then to him, that's the Son of Man, was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And look at this. That all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. This is a kingdom on earth. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom the one which will never be destroyed. Unlike the beastly kingdoms of human governments that rise and fall, his kingdom is eternal forever. You better make sure you're in it. And it's a kingdom on the earth. Look at verse 26. We read all these other verses 2 weeks ago. Verse 27. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Circle the words under the whole heaven. Heaven means sky. That means that this kingdom is literal on earth. This is not an allegorical spiritual kingdom, as some Christians wrongly believe. This is a literal physical kingdom that has been promised to the nation Israel through the Davidic covenant on the earth. And look what he says, his kingdom, the end of verse 27, is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him, Jesus. God made a covenant with Abraham, you'll remember, Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. God made a covenant with Abraham, and here was the summation of that covenant. The Messiah is going to come through you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of that. Then God made a covenant with David, and he brought more detail to who this Messiah will be. Hey, this Messiah that's going to come through Abraham's lineage is also going to come through your lineage, David. And he will be a king ruling on the throne from Jerusalem, bodily, physically, and literally over all the kingdoms of the earth. How incredible. A physical, worldwide kingdom of righteousness. Oh, I long for the day. And you say, well, what kind of kingdom will this be? Well, the Old Testament prophets spoke about it. And what they gave was incredible. This is going to be an amazing kingdom. Take a look at this prophecy, Isaiah 9:6, written 700 years before the first coming of Jesus. Let me hear you read this. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Pause there. Has that happened yet? Well, the first part has. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son was given. That happened. God became flesh and dwelt among us. But is the government of the world upon his shoulders right now? No, the government is ran by wicked men. But the day is coming. His kingdom, the government of the world, will be on his shoulders. Oh, I long for this day. And his name will be called, read with me, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, he will counsel us. It will be wonderful. We will have peace on earth. He is the Prince of Peace. And he will be the everlasting, he's the everlasting Father. He's the Almighty God dwelling with us. Let's go to the rest of the verse. Of the increase of his government and of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. And read with me this. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Let me ask you, David himself, was his kingdom a kingdom of righteousness? No. You ever heard of Bathsheba? You ever heard of Uriah? But David was a man after God's own heart. But we see the struggle that we have with sin. And David needed a savior. And that Savior, the greater David, is going to come, and he's going to be on the same throne of his kingdom. And he's going to establish it with judgment and justice that was never there before, any time in human history. And it's going to last from that time forward, even how long? Forever. And I love this part. And the zeal of Yahweh will make sure this happens. In other words, God says, my plan of salvation is complete and it will come into fruition. It's all on track, exactly as I planned. How awesome is that? I absolutely love it. What kind of kingdom? Well, we just saw it's going to be a kingdom of righteousness. It's going to be a kingdom of peace. Amazing. Look what 2 Samuel chapter 7 says about this. Again, this covenant with King David. God speaking to David in this messianic Davidic covenant. He says, when you, David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest when you're with your fathers, in other words, when you die, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Jesus was in the lineage of David. Verse 13, look what he says. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This was God's promise. Rest of the verse. Oh, that is the whole verse. This glorious kingdom lasting forever. Jesus will put an end to all evil and suffering on the earth. Jesus' kingdom will restore the earth to its Eden-like state. Children will be able to play safely in the streets. No more crime. No more wicked ideologies trying to confuse them about what gender they are. No more pedophilia. No more horrible things for our poor children. No more crime in the streets. Here's a good one. No more passwords to have to secure your account. No more CAPTCHAs to try to figure out, what is that squiggly H and how many stop signs? And is that a bicycle or is that a pole? I don't know. Neighborhoods will be safe. No more drug abuse. No more overdoses. No oppressors taking advantage of the poor. It'll be a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of righteousness. Look what the prophet said about this. Look at Isaiah 11. Oh, I can't lie. Look at this kingdom. Amazing. Read with me. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Let's pause there. Right now, if a wolf dwells with the lamb, what happens? That lamb is gone. That lamb is lamb chops. Read with me. And the leopard shall lie down with a young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Do you understand what God is saying? Right now, the animal kingdom is vicious. And that is a picture of man's sin nature. Before the fall, the animal kingdom was not carnivorous. And when Jesus comes back, the curse of the earth will be lifted. And the animal kingdom will no longer be at war. All the earth will be restored. I'm quite sure that mosquitoes will quit biting me in the millennial kingdom. And everything will be restored back to what its original intent was. The cow and the bear shall graze. And look at this. And their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Amazing. Rest of the verse. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. A nursing child is like 1 year old. Going to be able to play with snakes. No worries. Let your kids go run around in the field. It's safe. Even the animal kingdom is safe. And the wean child, that's a 5 year old, shall put his hand in the viper's den. No problem. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. How wet is the ocean? Pretty wet. And the earth will have the knowledge of Yahweh as wet as the ocean is today. Every person will know him. Why? Because they'll be able to see him bodily, physically, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, his word going out in power. This is the amazing kingdom. Rest of the verse. And in that day, what day? In the day that we're reading about here, when the Son of Man is given dominion and power and glory. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse who stands as a banner for the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be what? Glorious, glorious. And it's going to be a resting place. The earth will be a resting place. Now, this is interesting. In that day, a root of Jesse. What is that? Who's Jesse? Jesse is David's father. And a root? What does that mean? Well, God made this promise to David that his lineage would be the Messiah that would rule and reign on the throne. But David's kingdom disintegrated. And David did not have a king on the throne for centuries. And it looked like the tree was chopped off down to the root. But out of that root came Jesus, the lineage of David. And the messianic kingdom is going to come into full fruition. Amazing prophecies. I was going to take you to Psalm 72. We don't have time. Psalm 72, you might want to read it. An amazing psalm about the messianic kingdom reigning on the earth and the peaceful bliss and the joys that will come. The lion and the lamb laying down together. Incredible things. I want you to know this millennial kingdom of Jesus is not allegorical as some Christians believe. We don't have time, unfortunately, to teach all this in detail. But some believe that all of this has been fulfilled. And it's a spiritual kingdom, and the church is the spiritual kingdom. Nonsense. Nonsense. They say that Antiochus Epiphanes, who slaughtered a pig in the temple, was the abomination of desolation, that the Antichrist, he was the Antichrist. Nonsense. Jesus clearly said, Jesus was after Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes was long dead. And Jesus said the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke about. We're going to read that in the coming chapters of Daniel, so don't worry if you don't know what I'm talking about. But for you Bible scholars who think that this is a spiritual kingdom, Jesus said the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, let the reader understand, was going to be fulfilled by the Antichrist. Jesus said it's still in the future. And so this is not a spiritual kingdom. The Antichrist has not come yet. And Jesus' kingdom comes after the Antichrist sets up his kingdom. We saw that 2 weeks ago. Furthermore, Satan is clearly not bound today. Anybody who says so is just not being truthful and honest. Satan is deceiving the nations. And six times in the book of Revelation, it says a literal 1,000-year period, this millennial reign, this kingdom of the Messiah. Jesus is coming back to rule and reign. It's going to be physical. It's going to be literal. It's going to be a worldwide kingdom of righteousness. And Jesus taught us to pray, say it with me, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it wasn't a literal kingdom on earth, why in the world are we praying that? It's a literal kingdom. Now, there's a near and far fulfillment of that of when we pray that. When we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that means as I talk to my wife as a husband, Lord, your will be done. As I go to work today, Lord, your will be done. And that's the lesser fulfillment. The greater fulfillment is his will be done on earth, the messianic kingdom established just as it is in heaven. It's what the earth was created for. It's what you were created for. And we long for the day. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let me give you one more thing before we take communion. Reigning with Jesus is the inheritance of the saints. We are going to reign with Jesus in this kingdom. When King Jesus reigns on the earth, he will appoint those who have served him in this life into leadership. Take a look back in Daniel 7, if you're still there. Take a look at this with me. Read for me verse 9, the first four words. Read with me if you will. Go ahead. I want to hear you. I watched. Read with me. I watched. Let's say it unified together. I watched till what? thrones. I want you to circle the S on the throne. It's not a single throne. It's thrones. We will rule and reign with Jesus on the earth during the messianic kingdom, the 1,000 years. If we served him in this life by faith, Jesus will appoint all who served him in this life by faith to leadership in the messianic kingdom. Thrones is plural. And it says thousands of thousands ministered before him. That's here on this earth in the messianic kingdom. And I want you to know, Jesus said the exact same thing. Jesus said, we will reign with him on thrones. Your last verse of the day, Matthew 19. Take a look at this. This is Jesus speaking. Read with me. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Look at this. When the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, bringing us back to Daniel 7. And notice what he says here in the what? Regeneration. What is the regeneration? What regeneration? Not our regeneration. The regeneration of the earth from this fallen state back to its Eden-like state. In that regeneration, we will reign with Jesus on thrones. Let's look at the rest of the verse. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands or jobs or whatever, for my name's sake, he shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Two different things. You inherit eternal life as a free gift by believing in him. And you will receive thrones and 100-fold dominion in the kingdom by how well you serve him now in faith in this life. Tremendous rewards given in our resurrected bodies to those who serve him well and make him Lord of their life now and build his kingdom in faith. And if you're a scholar, you can read 1 Corinthians 15. I wish we had time to look at all these things. I just want to teach you for the entire day. But amazing things. Jesus' kingdom is going to be amazing. Countless millions will reign in his millennial kingdom with him. The Old Testament saints will reign with him in the millennial kingdom. The New Testament saints will reign with him in the millennial kingdom. All who have served Jesus by faith in this life will reign with him in the millennial kingdom. This is what he has promised from the beginning of time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some of you might be asking, well, what will we reign over? Good question. We don't have time to unpack it all, but let me give you a sliver. We will reign over the mortals on the earth who still have a sin nature. And you will do so in a glorified body. And that is the purpose of your glorified body. The moment you die, absent from the body, present from the Lord, and you don't have a glorified body, you get a glorified body when Jesus returns for his church at the rapture. Those who have died in Christ will come with him. And they'll be raised first. They'll get a glorified body. And we which alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. And then we shall ever be with the Lord in the air. And we all get our glorified body right there. And that is at the beginning of the messianic reign. Your glorified body is for mortals. Let me ask you, if Jesus resurrected in just spirit only, who would be able to see that he resurrected? No one. So he resurrected in a glorified body. And the Bible says he is the first fruits of the resurrection. We too will get a glorified body. And it will be based on what you did with your life here in faith will determine how glorious that body is. Things to ponder. Read 1 Corinthians 15 if you want to know more about that.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.